In the evidence that has been given so far, I believe Ms. Lim, Mr. Faisal, and Mr. Singh has mentioned that in the various meetings they had with her, she had always been emotional whenever the issue of the sexual assault comes up. So, for example, I can just relate some of these incidents to you. So she burst into tears or she get emotional every time the incident and was mentioned, the sexual assault incident mentioned, on the 8th of August, the meeting, 8th August, all three of them mentioned it. I think the meeting on the 12th of October between with Sylvia and Pritam. And during the two disciplinary panel interviews, and I believe in the CEC meeting on the 29th October and the 30th November, how would you reconcile the fact that she is constantly emotional whenever this incident is mentioned during those occasions? How would you reconcile this with your earlier findings that she is not affected by any post-traumatic trauma or dissociation?
I'd like to clarify that my testimony is that she does not have post-traumatic stress disorder. I did not say that she did not have some symptoms of being psychologically traumatized. What I'm saying is that it did not reach the threshold of a psychiatric disorder. Based on the way you have framed your question, my opinion is that if she were to be emotional whenever the topic of her sexual assault was mentioned, this is a very understandable, very normal reaction from a survivor of a sexual assault. A sexual assault is one of the most traumatic experiences that someone has gone through. It is a violation of their person. I would be very surprised if anyone can speak about their sexual assault plainly, carelessly, without emotion. I think that's even more abnormal than being emotional when talking about their sexual assault.
So would you say that she... I note that you say that she is not suffering from PTSD, perhaps anymore, but that she would... You agree that she still suffers... there are still symptoms of her. Symptoms rather than the condition. Is that your distinction?
Some symptoms.
Some symptoms. So she continued to suffer from some symptoms of this post-traumatic... post-traumatic symptoms, whichever way you call it. So you agree that, with that?
If I may just give an analogy. When a person goes for a major exam, a person may have anxiety. So they have the symptom of anxiety, you know. It doesn't mean they have a generalized anxiety disorder or a panic disorder, which is a psychiatric illness. Yeah. And each time they go for a high-stakes exam, they may still continue to have anxiety. So in the psychiatric profession, we always put in this criteria that the symptoms, when present, must be able to reach that intensity and that persistence that impairs the person's functioning. So many people who have gone through traumatic experience, be it a sexual assault, a road traffic accident, a physical assault, domestic violence, they would continue to have some anxiety when they speak about a topic or even they watch a news story about another person's trauma. These are all normal reactions, but it doesn't mean they are mentally incapacitated by their symptoms.
Thank you. So you're saying that some of these survivors of big traumatic events like sexual assault or serious accidents, they may always suffer symptoms whenever the memory of the trauma is evoked, and it can go on for many years. And they may not be exactly suffering from a PTSD disorder, so to speak. That is your evidence.
My evidence is that they may suffer the symptoms, but it may not impair them. I would say that it would be very unusual for a person to undergo a traumatic experience and just erase it and say, if the person told me that they went through a traumatic experience and then went on to say, I forgot it all totally, I would say that is highly abnormal. It's just a defense mechanism trying to perhaps compartmentalize or suppress that memory. But if a person talks about their traumatic experience, they are able to talk about it rationally, in a measured way, you know, displaying some emotion about it, but of course not too emotional. I think these are all very normal. I mean, it's normal human behavior to act in this way. So specifically, I think for Ms. Khan, even though, you know, some of these upsetting memories, she may feel upset by some of these things, it doesn't reach that threshold that would have impaired her judgment, impaired her decision-making capacity, or her reality testing even. She was of sound mind.
Would it still be possible that when the trauma is brought up, it would have affected her judgment in such a way that she is capable of false memory creation, telling a lie?
Is this a specific question
to applying to Ms. Khan.
Okay. First of all, she doesn't suffer from dissociation. She may have said so, but I think she used the term in a layperson's capacity, not from a professional definition of what dissociation is. Okay, so my testimony is that she does not suffer from dissociation or traumatic dissociation for that matter. Okay, I do not think that even when she speaks or the topic of her sexual assault was mentioned, it affected her so severely that she lost her mental capacity.
Perhaps not losing mental capacity, but lapses of judgment, telling a lie, for example. Could you exclude that definitively?
Okay, so in the Handbook of the Mental Capacity Act, it is said that people can make bad judgments. And making bad judgments doesn't mean it is due to mental illness. Any normal human being can make bad judgments.
But it could be due to the trauma. Bad judgment could be due to the trauma.
In specific, for this particular instance, I do not think so.
Did you ask her how did she arrive at her own admission that she suffers from dissociation?
If I recall correctly, she said that her psychotherapist told her that she had dissociation. I had asked her, what did she mean by dissociation? Okay, and her reply made me believe that she didn't fully understand what dissociation was. And when she used that term, she did not have a deep understanding of what that term meant.